grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text, well, both the Old Testament and the Gospel lesson. You got two men, hundreds of years apart, climb mountains. And the world hasn't been the same since. Moses climbed Mount Sinai. He had received a personal invitation from God. "Come up here on the mountain," said the Almighty to Moses, "and I will give you tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them." And Moses climbed the mountain, and a cloud covered it. And suddenly the glory of the Lord filled Mount Sinai, and the cloud remained more than 6 days. On the seventh day, God called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the writer of Exodus tells us that in the eyes of the children of Israel, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain. And then Moses went into the midst of the cloud, to the pinnacle of the mountain. And Moses stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down from the mountain, that's when he gave the world the Ten Commandments. Think about it. What a dramatic moment in human history. Well, Jesus of Nazareth also climbed a mountain. But he didn't go alone. The fact is, he took with him Peter and James and John. And while he was on the mountain, says the writer of Matthew, he was transfigured before them, and his face shone as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And suddenly Peter and James and John realized that they weren't alone there on the mountain, because talking with Jesus there on the mountain in the wilderness were Moses and Elijah the prophet. And it was Peter who spoke up, of course. And he said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you don't mind, let's put up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And then they heard a voice out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard this voice, we're told that they fell on their face. They were terrified, as you might imagine. And Jesus came and he touched them. And he said, "Arise, don't be afraid." And when those poor, startled disciples had recovered enough to lift their eyes, Moses and Elijah had disappeared. Only Jesus was present. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them not to share what they had seen with anyone until after he had been raised from the dead. I mean, think about it. Who would they tell? Who would believe them? Well, after his encounter with God, Moses came down from the mountain, and he gave the world the law. After Jesus' encounter with God and with Moses and Elijah, Jesus came down from the mountain and gave the world himself. You see, that's what's characteristic of the Christian faith. That is what separates us from Judaism and the Eastern religions and the popular New Age religions that seem to be sprouting up all over the place. The belief that Jesus gave himself in our behalf. And even more than that, that in Christ, the God of all creation, that he so loved the world that God entered into our heartaches, into our weakness, into our sufferings. And on the cross of Calvary, he took away the burden of our sin. You see, this is the heart of Christian teaching, that God became a human being. A Sunday school teacher was asking your first grade class a question to which the correct answer was Jesus. Well, one little girl called out, "God!" And the teacher gently suggested that she try again. Another little girl piped up, "Jesus!" And when the teacher congratulated her on having the correct answer, the first little girl said in a huff, "Yeah, that's what I meant, Jesus, but I call him God for short." Think about it. To our world, it is a ridiculous idea. But to the Christian, it's an exhilarating truth that God so loved the world that God determined to enter the world of humanity, determined to become one of us, to walk where we walk, to experience what we experience. I mean, it's an amazing doctrine, as you will agree, that the divine becomes human so that we might put on divinity, that the one who possessed everything became as one who possessed nothing, so that you and I might have a grand inheritance. Why was it necessary? What was God's intent? Well, God chose to do more than simply understand humanity from afar. God became one of us. God entered into our world of suffering and pain and experienced firsthand both the agony and the ecstasy of being human. And this belief that Christians have about God, that's what separates us from every other religion and philosophy in the world. Moses came down from the mountain and gave us the law. Jesus came down from the mountain and gave us himself. And that's to say that our Christian faith is built on the foundation of the law and the prophets, but their witness is not enough. Those three disciples on the mountain of Transfiguration, they see the figures of Moses and Elijah there with Jesus. I mean, Moses represents the law, Elijah represents the prophets, and throughout the New Testament, there is the explicit identification with the faith of the Old Testament. But time and time, there's also acknowledgement that Old Testament faith is not enough. Because time after time, Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." You see, a new age has been ushered in with Jesus. A new understanding of the relationship between God and humanity. And that's why we call it the New Testament or the New Covenant, because everything changed with the coming of Jesus. And that's what the story of the Transfiguration is all about. It confronts us with a decision. Do we believe that Christ is who he says he is? And if we believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Isn't it time that we began trusting him with our lives? John Mowry tells the story of a mountain climber who was desperate to conquer one of the world's great mountains. But he initiated his climb after years of preparation, but he wanted the glory to himself. Therefore, he went up alone. And he started climbing, and it became later and later. He did not prepare for camping, But he decided to keep on going. And soon it got dark. Night fell with heaviness at a very high altitude. Visibility was zero. Everything was black. There was no moon, and the stars were blocked by clouds. And he was climbing a ridge about 100 meters from the top when that proud climber slipped and fell. And falling rapidly, he could only see blotches of darkness that passed. And he felt a terrible sensation of being sucked in by gravity. And he kept falling. And in those anguishing moments, good and bad memories passed through his mind. He thought certainly that he would die. But then he felt a jolt that almost tore him in half. I mean, see, yes, like any good mountain climber, he had staked himself with a long rope to his waist. And in those moments of stillness, surrounded and suspended in the air, he had no other choice but to shout, "Help me, God, help me." And all of a sudden he heard a deep voice from heaven. "What do you want me to do?" "Save me," he cried. "Do you really think that I can save you?" asked the voice. "Of course, my God," he replied. "Then cut the rope that is holding you up," said the voice. And then there was a moment of silence and stillness, and the man just held on tighter to the rope. And the rescue team says that the next day, they found a frozen mountain climber hanging strongly to a rope 2 feet off the ground. Maybe there's someone sitting here this morning that's hanging 2 feet off the ground. You're facing a tough uphill battle. You're lonely and you're scared, but you haven't been able to let go and let God. I pray that you will let go of the rope, because you are not alone in this universe. Someone has come into this world from another world. Someone knows what you are going through, and he has suffered too. And he is the one who says he is. I invite you to trust him with your life. Jesus and three of his disciples were on a very special mountain. And there the disciples had that greatest experience of their lives. In fact, the disciples even wanted to stay there on the mountain, but Jesus wouldn't let them because there were people down in the valley who needed them. And so, as wonderful as that mountain was, they needed to go back to where the people were. And that's exactly what Jesus is still saying to people today. I know you'd rather stay where you are, but there are people who need you. I mean, it's all right to come up on the mountain from time to time, but don't forget that your main purpose is to spread my love to other people. And that means that you must leave the mountain and go to where others are. Amen.